Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, she's going to go ahead and let you. Yes, how God used the Holy Spirit to unscramble their language. And now he's in control of how we hear and understand one another. Because everybody heard God speaking to them in their own language. And we talked about last time how at the Tower of Babel, he did what? Because they tried to unify then against him, he confused their language. And now because he wants us to unify in him, he unscrambled it, which is why interpretation of tongues is a gift of his spirit. That's a part of his dispensation. All right? Does that make sense? So I appreciate that. What a great, great, great reveal. All right? All right, pop quiz. Dun, 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 dun. Who is paying attention to what we've been learning? Now, Periscope, you may or may not, because some of our students in-house have been listening to this for a long time, so they may know some of these answers to the question, but you're tuning in tonight so that you can catch up with them. But I'm going to ask you, put you on the spot a little bit in the house, all right? Where did life begin? Who remembers? Okay, Miss Elaine wants to shout it out. Go ahead, Miss Elaine. And eternity. We actually began our life in heaven. Remember that. Because where were we on the sixth day when God was making us? We were not here. We were not on earth, were we? We were in heaven. So life actually begins in heaven. Okay? And so now, let's ask question number two. How do we become Christians? You want to say it? Go ahead. Holy Spirit. Most people think they become a Christian when they say the sinner's prayer. But you don't become a Christian until the Spirit of Christ has entered you. Remember the gospel of eternity. Until the Spirit of life has entered you, praise the Lord, you cannot become a Christian. All right, how are we getting to heaven? Go. By the Holy Spirit. He is taking us out of here. Yes, that is how we're getting gone. Okay, thank you. But, okay. All right, thank you. So, that's how we're getting gone, is the Holy Spirit. Yes? So, if you don't have Christ's Spirit in you, you're not leaving out of here to go there. Is that true? Yes. All right. That was our quote from last week. I want to jump into a lesson review. Okay. And that should be Christ, the church's first Pentecost. Lesson review. We're talking about the Holy Spirit bringing us a new spirit that is actually feeding life into our spirit. Is that true? All right. How we became a new species, got a new nature, and are now becoming members of a new world. See, we kept thinking that we were becoming members of a new faith, of a new denomination, but we're becoming members of a new world. And we have to keep saying that every week because your consciousness wants to keep you earthbound and make you think the totality of your faith is here. But your faith does not only does it not end here, it didn't start here, and you're going back to where it began. You're going back to the author. And you're going back to the author's world. And you're going to go live in the author's society. And you're going to become a member of the author's civilization. And you're going to do things the author's way. And you're going to become a part of the author's lifestyle and culture and kingdom, which is a word we're all familiar with, right? Being a part of his kingdom. So we're going to talk about that because a lot of times we focus on, well, I'm just trying to be a good person. No! Try to become a new citizen, a qualified citizen, to be a member of the civilization of Jesus Christ. We just ain't about just doing good deeds and feeding your neighbor. Where do we say that the completion of your faith is? What do we say? Where does the work of the cross end? in heaven. When you become immortal and an eternal citizen of the heavenly realm, then the work of the cross has completed itself. Other than, okay, until then, we are pressing to make it in. If you never pass from death to life, if you never pass from mortality to immortality, come on. If you never pass from this world to that world, then the work of the cross was for naught, because it wasn't about making you a good person on earth. There are a lot of people who are going to be doing great deeds on earth but still can't qualify for citizenship in God's world, because they're not ready to comply with God's life. See, they're doing good works based on earth rules, right? Our perception of good. But then Jesus said himself, there is none good, no, not one. So if there's none good but the Father, come on here. If there's none good but the Father, then what are we measuring our good works on? Why do you think that God says, I want you to store up treasures where? Oh, you mean not at the Salvation Army? Not at the soup kitchen? Not at the John 3:16 mission? Where is he asking you to store your treasure? Okay. In heavenly places, which means that you have to be doing things heaven's way. Because if you're not doing things heaven's way, then you're not going to reap the heaven's reward. Because he said there are a lot of things in earth that just won't travel. There's a lot of things we do on earth that just won't travel. You know, he said something very interesting in Scripture, and I talked about this with a dear friend of mine long ago. But he said something very interesting in Scripture, that you can cast out demons in his name and do all of this kind of stuff, and he still will say, depart from me, I never knew you. And he lists some very specific things in there, didn't he? You can prophesy, do all this stuff for God, heal the sick, come on. And he says, that's great. But why? Why would he still say, depart from me, I never knew you? Why would he say it? They didn't have his spirit in him, and why else? Because he won't need that in heaven. So your works that you're doing to fix the sin issue here is not going to be needed in heaven, because we are perfected. That's why the work of the cross is about where your soul ends up, passing from that death to life, going from that mortality to immortality, becoming the end product, not an end work. God wants you to become an end product, not an end work. This is not about work. That's why he said you can't work for this faith. You have to become it. When he says the just shall live by faith, that means that we're talking about being able to live something, means you have to be it. You're not going to be able to be something other, or come on, live something other than you are. Hypocrisy only lasts for too long. Don't last for too long. Before the truth about you comes out in somewhere, somebody going to know it somewhere, somehow. Come on in this place. So you can't live something that you're not. So you have to become the product of this faith, which is in essence bearing the mark and the image and likeness and character and nature of Jesus Christ. Come on. Because how else will he know that you qualify? Oh, come on in here. Because the citizen, the model citizen that Christ is looking to replicate is Jesus Christ. He's our model citizen. If you can be like him, then you can fit in. If you can be like him, then you can fit in. If you can be like him, then what can you do? You can fit in. Come on in this place. So God is looking for the product and the completion of your faith, and not just you working something. So when we get to heaven, he's like, I won't need you to cast out demons. Won't be no demons in here. We won't need you to prophesy, because we will know all things. Oh, come on in here. We won't need you to heal the sick. Ain't no sick in here. So all that you did there for earth, we appreciate that, but that was for earth. What we need from you to qualify for heaven is a clean heart, a clean soul, a clean spirit. Holiness, without which you can't even see us. And we think of that as just a religious platitude, but God really is saying something to us tonight about holiness, breaking the final veil on your sight. Oh, come on in here. We're talking about holiness breaking the final frontier. tear. It's the last bastion that will break the final vestiges of death that cause us or separate us from God, that cause us to not even see him. Oh, come on in here. Can't even see him until you have become holy, which means what? Impervious to sin. That means sin no longer has an effect on you. It no longer has its dominion on you. When you get to the place that sin has lost its authority in your life, then you know you've crossed over to holiness. Oh, come on, today in Jesus' name. That's where we are with God. See, that's the new species. That's the new race. That's why he said the new race is holy. They're no longer blind. Which is why when you're around holy people, you want to go run scared because you know they can see everything about you. Honey, everything in your soul start running into every corner like a roach. My God, it be scurrying. I'm going to all those places. I am scurrying into the corner. Why? Because we can see you. Jesus was so holy, the devils were like, we know you, son of God. Now, flesh couldn't see him as son of God. But them devils said, no, we recognize that. And the fact that we don't move you, what did he say? Nobody here. He committed himself to no man because he knew what was in them. They couldn't move Jesus Christ. In fact, the Pharisees said it. They said, oh, teacher, we're going to come and ask you this question because we know you have no regard for man. We know you don't regard flesh. Oh, come on. Is that good tonight? We know you have no regard. But see, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's here to do. Holy Spirit means he's upgrading you to holiness. Holy Spirit means he's upgrading you to holiness. Because he wants you to be able to see God. The sight we lost in the garden when an unholy spirit blinded us. Because he wanted us to start seeing the world from his rotten perspective, his envious perspective, his jealous perspective. Well, wasn't he a rival? He was envious toward God. He was rivaling Jesus Christ for that seat. So he wanted us to see God according to the wickedness, the uncleanness, and the immaturity, and all of that, the anger, the bitterness, and resentment that was in his heart. I want you to see Christ the way I see him. Why we got to serve him. Why we got to do the sanctuary. Why everybody got to bow down to him. Why is his name the only name? Oh, come on in here. Why is he on point? Come on here. He shifted Adam's perspective about the God that made him. Changed his view. Changed his attitude toward God. He took on Satan's attitude. See, that's why God was like, we're going to block this thing unless you put forth your hand. That attitude ain't coming back in here. That perspective is not coming back in here. We're already trying to fill the gap. Okay, Melchizedek's priesthood. Okay, standing in the gap, making up the hedge until Jesus can come and be the high priest because of the fracture he left in heaven. Because he was a priest of heaven before he came to earth. Oh, come on in here. He had to do that thing. Does that make sense? Okay? So we're going to talk about that tonight. I know, isn't God good? Because he wants us to know him. Because we got a lot of people rivaling our identity. They're kicking our head in as Christians because we keep defending a doctrine. We keep defending a faith. We keep defending principles, laws, rules. We're not defending our nature. Let me tell you something. The LGBT community got it right because they're defending their nature. I'm defending my nature. This is who I am, and you can't tell me I'm something else. Newsflash, this is who I am, and you can't tell me something else. I'm defending my nature. I have a right to be Jesus Christ. If you have a right to be something else, if everybody's making up things, You want us to treat you like a dragon. You want us to treat you like you're a tiger. You want us to treat you like you're an alien from Mars. You want to have rights to be a vampire. Well, I want to have the right to be Jesus Christ on earth. Somebody talk to me about that right. I just want you to, okay? Okay, these are supposed to be gone. Hold on. All right, there we go. So I want you guys to, I want to talk about that, because we're defending the wrong, again, we're fighting their argument. We'll prove this, we'll prove not. If these people don't have to prove why they feel like they were born in the wrong body, why do we have to prove that we are born from above? We are born from above. We are born from above. Our life did not start here. We were put here and then given the right physical accommodations to survive here. But our soul and spirit began somewhere else. So that means our nature did too. Peter said we are to be partakers of the divine nature. God is reconciling us back to our divinity. Never forget it. You'll hear me say it throughout the whole entire class. What you lost in the garden was divinity. That's what you lost. That's why when God says he came to seek and save that which is lost, what did Dr. Price tell us? We ain't lost to ourselves. We don't walk around thinking, I'm lost. I don't know who I am. Well, some people do. I don't know who I am. I don't know. Who am I? Who am I? We don't walk around thinking that. We were lost to God because the divine connection was broken. So the whole mission is about recovering those that were ordained to divinity. And we'll talk about that when we get to predestination and God's elect. Because, you know, Dr. Price is going to take every issue on. She's going to take it all on. She goes all the way in on this. Acts chapter 2 is where we were last week. If you have your Bibles, make sure that they are open to Acts chapter 2, because we're going to reference that tonight as we talk about the Holy Spirit's outpouring and beginning of the new age. Yes, I have one. I am prepared. Acts chapter 2. Okay. And, you know, when it's not your Bible, I want you to know, saints, you can't just do that flipping. All right. So we were talking about that. I want to have that open as we reference it. So we talked about last time that in Acts chapter 2, how the Holy Spirit was here on earth with Jesus Christ training the apostles. He had to be present with them because they were about to trade places. He was about to trade off. I'm leaving. You're taking over. You were working with me. You're going to start working with him. And so they were there, and they taught them everything they needed to know about what? The gospel, love, grace, mercy, oh, the kingdom. And what do we hear preached the least? But yet he came talking kingdom. Because, see, mercy and grace and all those things work within the constitution of a kingdom. Those are constitutional amendments, or what we would classify as the Bill of Rights for Jesus' kingdom. Well, mercy's his prerogative, so that would be kind of like a pardon. That'd be like the presidential pardon. I'm pardoning you from that. I'm choosing. Because we start teaching, we act like that mercy is God's inalienable right. I mean, our inalienable right, that we can demand it of him. Okay? That's what we think. We can just demand that God has mercy and demand. And we think it's ours to give out. We think it's ours to give out. Okay? We cannot just give out mercy. It's not ours. No more than you can give out justice in the United States without being called a vigilante. You can't administer justice on behalf of a government official. So why do we think we can do it on behalf of Jesus' government? He said, this is my prerogative. Now, granted, I love the fact that he said they're new every morning and he wants to, you know, give them out like lollipops at the dentist. Come on. I do appreciate that about God, because Lord knows he wants to pop, he passes that stuff out. And I'm glad I'll be getting up in the morning saying, they knew today though, right? Ah, thank you, Jesus, because I use up some mercy that's new. Okay, I can't use yesterday's mercy. I can't get the hand-me-down mercy, okay? I need the fresh stuff because God is merciful. But we have to start thinking, if God taught them the kingdom and God came to bring a kingdom, then we need to understand that what we are a part of is not a faith, not a doctrine, not, okay? not your denomination. Because when you go in, when we leave out of here, we're not going to our favorite quadrant. God, you know, he got me about that, right? He said, you recognize that y'all good at isolating and just slicing folk off and not want to deal with them again because you're mad. He said, but you recognize I can't do that? We can't even treat our prisoners bad in the United States. They got rights. Come on. But the terrorist Guantanamo had rights. Come on. Is it true? So how much more in the kingdom of a Lord that desires mercy over sacrifice, is just, is equitable, has discretion? Come on. So God's like, you can say, I'm not dealing with this person or that person because they're of this sort of denomination. He said, but I still have to be that God. You know why? Because I'm the Lord over what? All creation. Come on. Not pieces of creation. So you may want to be the ruler of your piece and of your section, but I've got to rule it all. So you're the big man in the small fishbowl, but I am the God on high. So I've got to rule it all. So after you write your friend off, I've got to go and deal with him. So you have the privilege of not thinking about things again when you go home and go to bed at night. No, no, no. These prayers are coming up before me. These cries are coming up before me. And I, the God of heaven who brought this thing into existence, have got to give a response. Because creation is my responsibility, whether they know me or not, whether they like me or not, because I brought them into existence. Why do you think that he said he's a faithful creator who won't deny himself? Because we are made in his image and likeness. He won't deny himself. I still have to take responsibility for this thing because I brought it into existence. I made it so. Oh, come on in here. We can get that. If we can have such integrity with the things we bring Christians into existence and drop them. Get them saved and leave them. No discipleship, no follow-up. Don't even get a call again. Hey, buddy, all right. Just keep praying, okay? And that's it. God can't do that because it's all his responsibility. So he came to train them in kingdom, not churchhood. Because the churches are going to be absorbed into a kingdom, an eternal nation. 12, the church of the firstborn. We're going from all these little denominations to one eternal church. We're going from all these sects of society to one general assembly. Okay. An innumerable community. Can we talk about Jesus? So we talked about as a review, we talked about the 120 souls, okay, in the upper room, and how God was strategic enough to pull 10 souls, which would, I should say, 10 souls for every tribe. So even though Jesus didn't get all of the people in Judea and Jerusalem and the Edomo, they didn't care, but God got a tithe, didn't he? We talked about the number 10, okay, because there are 10 souls, 120. We talked about that. Significance, 10 souls for every tribe, which constitutes 120, okay? That's where we got the number from. 10 equaling the number of government because the Holy Spirit was bringing in a change of government. People always talking about, ooh, the new world order is coming. Jesus brought the new world order. The old order was everybody die and go to hell, and that was it. Okay? The new world order is that you got a choice. You have an alternative. And now you can live forever. So 10 souls equal a tithe or first fruit representation of the Jews who would be the founding citizens of Christ's new kingdom government. He still honored Abraham. Come on here. He made sure there was 120 of them up there so that they could represent each tribe. Now, whether every tribe was represented in them or not, them being there, God wanted to make sure that they were all covered, that he had something first. From the first people he made. And then he extended it out to Abraham's Gentile family. Yeah, I know that's controversial. But see, he said he had sheep, not of this fold. Abraham has Gentile offspring. We know Islam is one of them. Acts chapter 2. So we read through the first section of Acts chapter 2, and I want to jump into verse 17, because this is where we left off. Now, Ms. Elaine, do not forget your question. No. I'm asking you not to forget it because I'm going to give you time for your question, okay?
Okay.
Very good. So let's talk about Acts chapter 2. All right, starting at verse 17. And in the last days it shall be, God declares that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And yea, on my men servants and my maid servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord comes and the great and manifest day. And it shall be that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we know the prophecy pulling forward from Joel. Why is this significant? That last piece shows you why God poured out his spirit on all flesh, to give all of this world access to him and his kingdom again. He brought divinity back to the planet through the person of the Holy Spirit. And he brought divinity back for the purpose of really sifting, sorting, and recovering what belongs to him. All men had to have access, which is why he had to concede. Come on. Why did he shut everything up under sin? This is why all means all. Because when we talk about that, we almost forget that God poured out his own spirit on everything in creation. But then let's go back to Romans 8. What did we read last time about Romans 8? He subjected the earth, what? Creation, to futility in hope. Everything in creation is getting an upgrade because now he's bringing his spirit back. We talked about how he upgraded the earth, had to upgrade the earth to match the stature of the last Adam, who was a life-giving spirit. So now the spirit in the planet is giving life. Come on. Jesus came to bring us what? Life and light. And we got both after he came. Because look at us today. We have light, and not just in small pockets. He energized the planet, because I know that they talk about Atlantis and other things, priests, you know, how they had lasers and they did that, pockets of light. If light was everywhere, we still wouldn't have been having torches and stuff, even in the Middle Ages. It took God a little bit of time, but he actually brought light or energy into the planet. Actually, he brought it in this moment here. But how long did it take us to figure out how to energize it and harness it so that we can get this here?
All right.
That's why he said the kingdom of God is here and everybody is forcing their way into it, because you can't advance unless God gives us the mind to do so. Remember, they tried to make advancements at the Tower of Babel. He shut them down. So the fact that we are advancing today is because it's what he wants. His light came to show us how to do it. But now we're doing it under his auspices and not the auspices of the demonic government. Because Jesus said, now I have authority over all flesh, both in heaven and on earth. So now that I'm back in control of everything, boom, have at it. Go on and find. Go on and explore creation. Go on and find some things. Make some light. Make some energy. Make some noise. Come on here. Go on and do it. Because now I'm in control. Oh, come on. Isn't that great? Because God was like, oh, no, y'all ain't going to come back and try to find ways to tear up my heavens. Y'all crazy. That ain't happening. So we're going to shut you down. So he shut us down in Genesis and is opening us back up now. Because on all flesh means all flesh. So what are we talking about here? There's two different outpourings. The first outpouring is for humanity to be able to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. And also to advance society. Because what does he say? As a result of his spirit being poured out on every human being, we'll be able to what? Do visions and dreams. Didn't he say that? He said, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams. So why are we surprised that the world is prophesying, that they have visions, that they have dreams, that they're doing all of these things? God gave them the ability to do so. So he pours out a redemption outpouring. So we can get, okay, he said he wanted to save the world, and we think that the only way he wanted to save the world was just through the sinner's prayer. No, look at the upgrades that the technology has done for us. We used to die from hay fever. We used to die from ticks. We used to die, okay, come long from just drinking dirty water. And there are people, unfortunately, that are still doing that who have not been able to be touched by the light of this gospel in mass. Come on here. Look at the upgrades. And he showed off with the nation who was going to give him the highest praise. Did he show off with us or what? I know America is crazy. They're going crazy right now. Praise God. That's why we're going to intercede like Daniel. We just going to pray because we're standing in the gap. Make up the head, Lord. Just, you know, keep your eyes on, you said, for the joy that's set before you. We want to be a part of that joy. Lord, be joyful when you, come on. Somebody, smile. Smile. Somebody, smile. Anyone? Okay? Because the joy, okay, come on here. Because at the end of the day, we want that. Okay, so, but he poured out this dispensation here to upgrade the planet, to save the world from its own destruction. If he did not come in and start tempering this thing, we'd be out. Everything was killing us. We didn't know how. We were so superstitious, first of all, and paranoid because them other gods made us slaves to everything. Don't step on a crack. Don't walk in the moon. Don't do that. I mean, all of a sudden, when lightning comes, they had, if you go back and read what them deities did to those people, and you know it's so sad when you go to when you see a documentary about the aboriginals we still have. We only got one still left. But when you see them, oh, my God, on the planet, isn't it terrible? They're doing all of these things, and that's the slavery that the other gods had them under. And God broke their power by giving us knowledge. That's why he said knowledge is power. Prophecy equals light, which is why everybody can prophesy, because I needed to upgrade this planet. I need to break Satan's hold in every way. And he wasn't breaking his hold. He said he came to destroy the works of the devil. And my God, how many people we knew were bound by the devil? Oh, now I don't drink that because they said if we do that, it's going to help you. How many religions we know that still won't go get medicine, won't go to the doctor, won't do it? Come on. And why? Because Satan wants that hold of death. Oh, come on here. Death, where is your sting? He wants that grip of death on these people. That's why he had the whole world bound in ridiculous practices and rituals, burning their kids in the fire, doing all kind of evil things to themselves, cutting themselves, destroying one another, beheading people, offering human sacrifices. Because they were trying to make it rain. And now we got Doppler. And you know, it's even better. Scientists are cloud seeding. If it gets too dry in the area, well, let's see some clouds over there so we can make it rain. That's how much we've gotten upgraded. That's how many visions that God released on the planet. That's how many dreams that he imparted, because he said, I so love the world. I gave my only begotten son. He didn't come to save the world just through the salvation prayer, but to save lives. People can live after going through dramatic experiences, getting just, come on here, sicknesses and diseases we couldn't beat for years. Amen. God is so good, he's got to outsmart us to get us to stop thinking we God. That's how powerful his spirit is, that we think we God. We can replace him altogether. Because why? Although God poured out the richness of his spirit in an act of mercy and grace on humanity to change the quality of life, to give them something they can never dream of happening, okay, to have us experience things, modern-day conveniences, so that people can stop slave labor and dying of exhaustion and crazy things of that nature. He did all of that in his mercy and grace. It's so powerful that Satan's old nasty attitude in us makes us think we are God. His same nasty attitude that said, I will put my throne above the stars, is now still running in us. Now, God said, now, I helped you out. And you going to transfer that old nasty attitude. Your envy, your jealousy, your strife, your contention, you're going to pass that on. And take my benevolence to use it against me. But that's why there was a second outpouring, because he said in verse 18, and on my men service and maid service in those days I will pour out my spirit on my men service. So wait a minute, if you already poured out a dimension of your spirit on all flesh, then what's happening here? Oh, but see, this is the power of eternal life. But that's the power of eternal life, the power by which God said that he can make us sons.
Right.
See, that first outpouring wasn't about sonship. It was about access. So that when you called on the name of the Lord, you could be saved. But you can't call on something you don't feel or can't experience. Like Dr. Price said, if he never answered the prayer of a sinner, he'd never get a saint. Is she right? She right. So that second outpouring was for eternal life. That's that path to death to life. That's that live forever outpouring. That's that life-giving spirit. That's immortality and eternality being brought to light in your DNA. Your DNA is now coded with the gene of immortality, which is why you are going to be able to drop this flesh and rise. If it's not in your DNA, if it's not in your makeup, you can do it. Why do you think Satan is selling everybody on reincarnation? Because he can't give them anything outside of this world. We already said that earth was his prison. He can't give them anything outside of this world, so I'm going to just keep you in love with the idea of dying and coming back and 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 dying and coming back, which is why everybody kept thinking that Jesus Christ was just a knockoff of these other gods who died and came back and then died and came back and then kept reincarnating themselves for every generation until we stopped them. But what was the difference? The one part of the mystery of godliness that the enemy could not peer into and could not make sense of and could not access was the mystery of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the only deity that comes with the Holy Ghost. No other deity has one following them. They may have walked on water. They may have supposedly raised him from the dead. They may have supposedly done all these things. Did you know they all them gods of Egypt, the ones he took down? For trying to mimic him to begin with? If Balaam in his old wicked self could see Jesus Christ coming, you think the enemy wouldn't have known that? Just like he knew that something was coming through the seed of a woman to take out his headship and tried to trick Eve. He thought he can get the jump on Jesus Christ, send how many fake messiahs into the world. But what he can't replicate is the Holy Ghost in you. That's why they can take your hope. They can take your home. They can take your car. They can take your church. They can destroy your Bible, and we will still end up with Christians. In the words of Dr. Price, we had Christians before we had a Bible. Because we're Christians by the Spirit, not by doctrine and not by letter of Christian experience. We are Christians by the Holy Ghost because of who we are, how we're changed in our nature. We would manifest this way if nobody told us anything. Why? Because Corinthians said it, which was brought forth from the Old Testament. I will write my laws on your heart. Which is why you are a living epistle. A living epistle. You are a walking Bible. That's why you have the Holy Spirit who will lead and guide you in all truth. He did not say that he would be your teacher so that you can be rebellious against your leaders and not show up to Bible study and not want to go to school and want to stay in your closet and not learn from anybody because you're too good to sit up under because you got a greater anointing than anybody that walked the earth. That's not why he said that. He said that so that if you're in a dark place, you're a Coptic Christian about to be beheaded and you have nothing in front of you. There is no preacher. There is no teacher. There is no prayer warrior. The Holy Ghost will lead and guide you in all truth, that you might still know him in the valley, know him in the wilderness, know him. See, that's why he said, I'm going to need to teach you. He said, I will have to be your teacher in the darkness when there is no light around. In the days of persecution, when they're trying to shut down your church and shut down your rights and shut down your hope and shut down your faith, your expression, your beliefs. Oh, come on in here. Then you will have the Holy Ghost to teach you. Because there'll be nobody else around. That's why you have to know that you know that you know him. Oh, come on in this place today. That's what I'm talking about. That second outpouring was privatized. It was from a special stock to ensure that you would walk in the same DNA, not just his image, because we were all made in his image. But how many of us are going to have his substance? Because Jesus wasn't just his image. He was the substance of the Almighty God. Oh, come on. We didn't just take on a likeness. I'm going to be kind like Jesus. In a demeanor. We're talking about a substance that can change your nature, that upgraded your nature. New creature. New creature. New creature. New creature. Think about what that means. That's the end game. That's the mystery of godliness. That's why you're being wiped out. The persecution isn't because you want to stand up and say something about Jesus Christ. Come on. The battle is that you will become a new creature. A new species. A new race. As Dr. Price said, the final race. The last race. They killed him because he called God his father. They killed him because they called God his father. But they killed him because they called God his father. What do you call him? What do you call him? And you ain't calling him that because it's the right thing to do in church when they taught you the Lord's Prayer. You're calling him that because you are his heir. You are his offspring. You've gone beyond image and now have become a replica of his substance, his essence, his nature. We know that life begins in the spirit because that's where we were on the sixth day. So what happened when the Holy Spirit entered you? What did you become? I taught you guys that you change the nature, you change the spirit of a person, you change their nature, you change who they are. It's like swapping out SIM cards, and all your information can now be on somebody else's phone, and nothing about the external exterior of the phone changed at all. So while you still looking like you and walking like you and talking like you, somebody just switched out your hard drive, switched out your SIM card. While you were on the go, still looks like your computer, but it's got somebody else's information on it. It's got a whole nother system. You see what I'm saying in here? That's what we are with God. So God did pour out his spirit on all flesh because he wanted to leave Israel. He didn't want to just be the God over Israel because he's already the Lord of what? All creation. We have how many prophecies that said that the earth is the Lord and that the earth should be full with his glory? Well, how is he going to get his glory in all the earth? I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Because that was the goal. Dr. Price has taught us that many, many times, that that's why people want to fight Christianity. Like, boom, okay? Because we're the only faith that ain't going to stay locked to an ethnicity, ain't going to stay locked to a culture, a certain part of the world. God said, oh, I'm God. Y'all, did you forget? I own all this. All souls are mine. So what did he do that was so amazing is that he decides, hey, I'm going to go get my people back. And how does he do it? This guy goes to a diplomatic war without using one weapon, without arousing one thing. Through the Holy Spirit, he can creep in and out of any nation he wants to. Make an offspring, make a convert, make a son or daughter without anybody knowing. The war doesn't come until the confession happens, when they start sharing it. That's when the war goes on. But by then, they're already a son. So if you're going to take them out, you're going to have to take them out as a son. But then he did say how precious are the debts of his saints. So Jesus Christ went global. He said, okay. He said, these people, he said, my people in the flesh are already shut up under other gods and other governments. So although I brought a kingdom, it can't have a territorial place just yet, which is why he set up embassies called churches. Because when you're an embassy in a foreign nation, you don't own that land. You can't run roughshod over that government. But you do get your 4x10 in which you can do with everything, anything you want. Isn't that why we run to our embassies for sovereignty? Because that piece of 4x4 land is considered the sovereign representation of whatever nation is there. So that's why God gave us churches. So when you step in these doors, you can do whatever you want to. Okay? Serve God any way you want. Okay? Do his laws, do his customs, do his practices. Get comfortable with how he is and how he functions if you're under the right leader. Okay? Because not every leader is teaching you the customs of the kingdom that you're going to live in forever. They teach you some stuff that's going to die out. Talk about something that's obsolete and not trending. Sin won't trend past this. Okay? It won't trend past this. So I want you guys to know that that's why he set up little sovereign grounds for himself where his spirit can dwell. Because ultimately, when it's time for the whole kingdom to come together, we ain't going to be doing that. So Judaism is now switching from the temporal to the eternal. Everything that was done in Israel was temporal. It was the, how we say about faith, the substance of things hoped for. Israel was an evidence of something not yet seen. So the natural temporal was an evidence of the spiritual temple not going to be made by hand or with hands that we couldn't see. So the world we couldn't see, he put in front of us naturally. So the Judaism was the faith or the substance of the faith that Abraham was told to hope for. And it was the evidence of the world that could not yet be seen because of the blindness in our hearts and in our minds because of sin. So once that faith was now going to be completed or finished or fulfilled, and we can see the eternal world, well, then why do we need the substance? Do you want the substance? Do you want the vision that God gave you that you're holding on to? Or do you want the actual car or home that was promised? Do you want the fulfillment of the promise or the token? Okay. That was the token that God would come back and restore and redeem and all of those things. And that's why Jesus got so frustrated, because he's like, but the promise is here. Abraham's fulfillment is here in front of you. Why would you want the token and not the fulfillment? That's why he said the law was going to be fulfilled. There were tokens. There were signs, evidence of the world that could not be seen. But now that world, the kingdom, he said, I poured out my spirit on all flesh. So what does that mean? Everybody now will be able to see the kingdom on some level. It'll be evident by vision, by dream, by prophecy. It'll be evident. Now, whether they want to receive it or not, that's their decision. But the kingdom can now be seen, so we don't need a token. Now we can engage with the world that is yet to come, the power of the ages to come. We can now engage with it. So why go to this temple here that I put here because you couldn't see me and wouldn't do right, when now you and I can interact face to face? That's like me talking to this book as if it was Dr. Price. Hi, Mommy. That's weird. Okay? Okay? That's weird. That's weird. Okay? So we're gonna talk about this here. But that's what we do. People would rather go speak to that cross that's on that wall instead of engaging with the Spirit of God, having a form of godliness and denying the power and the presence of the world that's actually here. It's here. You don't need a picture. You don't need a token. You don't need a tattoo. It's here. It's here. It's real. You only need those things when your faith is struggling and you can't believe it's real. Jesus, Jesus, give us a sign. No, I ain't giving you no sign. I'm standing in front of you. Okay? I ain't giving you no sign. I am the sign that the kingdom of God is here. So the Holy Spirit will become the portal through which Jesus Christ would govern the earth again. Now he's ruler in heaven, and now because he poured out his spirit on all flesh, that means he can access any soul he wants to at any time, whether you like him or not. His spirit is on all flesh. so I could do what I want to. Okay? So now he's in control and governing the earth. All right. Since we're in the countdown on time, and I promise, Miss Elaine, someone, okay, there we go. We got the microphone. Yes. Just the one. It's just the one. But she says it was first because we're talking about the firstborn from the dead. So we're the first fruits. Paul says we're somewhat of the first fruits of this eternal life. That is an excellent question. Excellent question. So when we get back together, oh, we're at the end. Hey, guys, I'm going to close out. I'm going to just close out on this section. Here's all the things I want you to remember about what the Holy Ghost did. It's on the screen. I hope you can see it. I'll say it out loud. Okay. Because of the Holy Spirit and Pentecost, the term Christianity is born. Because he poured out his spirit on all flesh. See, that's why Jesus is going to live forever and ever and ever. You can keep trying to kill off Christians, but the person that's making Christians is invisible. He said the Holy Spirit's like the wind. So the what is causing us to become saved, they can't touch. It's locked away where the moth can't get it. Judaism shifts, which we just talked about. Christianity takes over, okay? And at first, they are the grain of a mustard seed, struggling. Nobody want to deal with them. But ultimately, what happens? The New World Order, the calendar goes from counting down to counting up, B.C. to A.D., they're trying to get rid of that, too. We're going to call it counting eras. But it don't matter because he changed time. The times and seasons. He changed time. He changed how we deal with time. The names of other gods fade, and the ancient Egyptian and Roman Greco pantheon become history or mythology. So Jesus Christ becomes real, and now guess what? Zeus is a myth. Now the prince of this world is cast out. Western cultures dominate as Western cultures domination as Christians. They go around and start dominating the whole world. As crazy as imperialism was, it did get the gospel everywhere. Light and energy enter the planet and is harnessed, and America is born. Now, who would have ever thought that God would end up with a nation that wants to exalt his name? Wow. He went from a nobody, not having a people, to now having a people. All right? So those are the things that the Holy Ghost did. New government, new world order. Yes? All right. Next week, the continuum, predestination, God's elect. Did God make people to go to hell? All right. In the meantime, what you can be doing as we close out, here's some reading for you guys, a reading assignment. Dr. Price discusses on page 99 the congregation of Jesus Christ. I would love for you to study that and the corresponding scriptures. That's a great reading assignment in preparation for us to roll into the next section, continuum predestination and God's elect. Did God make people to go to hell? All right. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. Did you guys enjoy tonight? Yay. You know what? Just excited about God. Just excited about us being able to know him. All right, here's some Wednesday Warrior quick updates before we leave. Some news, some events, and products, and more. All right, first, get the book if you don't have it. If you're joining us for the first time tonight by Periscope, you want to get the book, you can go ahead online, www.drpaulaprice.com. It's $21.99. Get the book, all right? Definitely want you to do that. Also, a companion book. Dr. Price has a new release out called ABCs of Apostleship 2, Discipling Apostolic Christians. In this book, she touches on these themes from before the garden, and she goes there. If you want to understand how we became a part of the gene pool of Jesus Christ, I want you to get Discipling Apostolic Christian, and that's also $21.99. Okay? Join us, okay? How many of you guys are excited about June? It's coming up. I want you guys to join us June 15th through the 18th for our Tulsa Prophetic Training Institute. We want to invite you out. We've got some great speakers lined up, great classes lined up, and most of all, God's lined up. He's going to be there to make some serious impartation because I'm going to tell you something. In this season, he wants to empower his apostles and prophets. because it's our season and it's our time. And he wants to empower you to go forth. All right, here's the new series. Every Tuesday night, you can catch Dr. Price teaching on the Apostolic Christian. Get the book. Join us on Periscope. It's a great class, and it's free. Come on, what can we say? All right? What can we say about free? And it will be on Blog Talk Radio and Periscope and even on Facebook Live. Is that right? Prophet Ashley will be on all those places. And then, of course, Thursday, our favorite time of the week, the Paula Price Show. If you do need prayer and all of those great things, I want you to tune in to the Paula Price Show on Thursdays, 11 a.m. It's on Periscope. It's on Blog Talk. It'll be on Facebook Live. Tune in. Dr. Price really loves to reach out and touch God's people. We need answers. We need wisdom in these times. So tune in. Okay, and then you can join me again next Wednesday. All right. At this time, I'm going to invite you to visit my website, www.talaprice.com. You can go on there, find out a little bit more about me. You can also go on there and sow a seed if you want to directly. There's a link on there to sow. I appreciate the support of a lot of people out there. Many of you have been doing so. And I just want to thank you all for those that tune in every week, like Linda and Maude and Brian and all of those people. Michelle, I thank you guys for tuning in. Those here in the house who are always doing it, I appreciate that are always so faithful in supporting what God is doing and getting this out there. This is some serious stuff, y'all. So I do appreciate your prayers. I do appreciate your financial support and all of it. So I want to thank you for doing that, and thank you for joining us tonight. I'm going to give you guys a second to take your offering, and then we're going to pray out of here. Yes. God just wanted to talk tonight, didn't he?